Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Amen? Amen. Let me read from King James. The one verse reads like this. He that covereth his sins, that's with an S, shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You see that? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I'm going to speak from this subject this morning for a few minutes. From the ground up. Thank you, Lord. All right. From the ground up. Help me now. I think there's some church folk here. She didn't say, be quiet, preacher. She said, step on some toes. God is good to us. Now we know that, but I want us to look for a few minutes at what God shows us concerning from the ground up. What is it about the Bible that makes it important in our life? First, the Bible is the only book ever written that is completely true. Hello? Amen. Will somebody say amen? Because normally writers, you know, writers generally have a propensity, they have a way of adding things to what is. And especially when you start talking about somebody writing for commercial reasons, they want to dress it up, make it a little bit better. So you can't always depend on what you read. That's why we tell people, don't think that everything you read on the internet is true. Amen. A lot of that stuff is just in there to gain what? Traction, to sell more of whatever it is, pencils or whatever it happens to be. The Bible is true. And not just true a little bit, the Bible is completely true. Now, does anybody agree with me? I need to know who I'm talking to here. Because if somebody, and this is what I found out, if somebody does not believe that the Bible is true, you got a job in front of you when you're trying to get them to pay attention to what the Word of God says. If they don't believe that's the Word of God, it's just like any other book to that person. But when somebody understands that the Bible is accurate and is true, and it's recording of history, and it's talking about a God who not just was God, but who is God, that's a different thing. Because now that person is trying to take what God says to them, and they want to apply it in their life. So here are three things that we're going to talk about regarding from the ground up as it relates to this scripture. First, coming to grips with ourselves. Coming to grips with ourselves. That's number one. Number two, repairing the damage to ourselves. The young ones will get away with walking a little bit, but we'll train them. Amen? Amen? Repairing the damage to ourselves. That's the second point. And then the third point, celebrating the new creature. Celebrating the new creature. If I ask you right now, have you been able to come to grips with who you are? Everybody wouldn't answer the same way. Because in life, sometimes it's easier not to come to grips with who we are. We want to be like somebody else. We're striving to imitate somebody else's life. And what I found is God wants us to live our lives. And his idea, God's idea of how our lives should be different may be different from what we think. God wants us, you and me and you, all. He wants us to glorify who? Him. Help me, somebody. Glorify him. We don't glorify Mike. Or Oprah, or anybody else. Now, we can value people without thinking that we're nobody unless we like them. Do you see what I'm saying? We can value them, we can point to them, but we should not spend our lives trying to what be them. God wants us to come to grips with ourselves. And here's the way the scripture points out we ought to do it. First, we got to thoroughly examine ourselves. And when he talks about examining ourselves, the scripture say, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Sometimes people wonder why they're not getting further ahead. Why can't they get this thing done? They've been trying to do it for so long. Sometimes it just comes down to the fact that we've not yet come to grips with who we are. We're not starting at square one. And until we are honest with ourselves, God's not going to allow us to move beyond that point. Because God does not believe, he does not build on that which is not true. He will build only on that which is completely true. So we got to look at ourselves. And that means we got to get in front of some mirrors. Help me, somebody. See, I found out the deacons don't know me like God knows me. The ushers don't know me like God knows me. But because God knows me, here's what I found out. My first news flash, I can't hide nothing from God. Amen. Is that right? Can't hide nothing from God. And you know, sometimes we can decorate, we can mask things, we can cover things up so people don't always know all about us. Help me, somebody. And that's not a bad thing, because listen, all I'm saying is sometimes you don't want folks to know all about you. Let's be honest with somebody, anybody but me. You don't want folks to know all about, but God knows all about us. So God said, we got to come clean. We got to examine ourselves. Our examination needs to be complete and it needs to be honest. Because it is so easy not to be honest about what's going on in our life. I can see me now. Well, I don't really speed when I drive. I know my wife may say that, but I don't really, that's what I'm telling myself, right? Until I get pulled over. We got to be honest with ourselves. A person may say, well, it's not a bad thing, and this is a different thing. Something like drinking, alcohol, strong drinks. That's an area that is tricky with a lot of people. Some folks don't want you to talk about it. Because I tell people all the time, God doesn't say a person can't drink. But help me now. Everybody say thank you. Help me now. He does say don't be a drunkard. Is that right? So if all I can take without getting drunk is two beers, that's all I ought to drink. Now, and here's my next news flash. When I'm falling down, can't get in the house, can't unlock the door, don't know where I'm going, something wrong. I got a problem, and I can't blame nobody else because I did it. I can't blame the bartender, can't blame my friends, can't blame the event. It's me. And so God wants us to be honest as we evaluate ourselves. And then when he talks about in this scripture, he talks about our sins with an S. There may be somebody listening today. There may be somebody here who say, I'm not a bad person. I don't kill people. I'm not committing adultery. You know, we go through our list, our checklist. You know how we like. Yeah, but say, do you talk about people? Do you look at that person and say, wow, I wish I was with her, with him? Because the Bible is funny. The Bible is one of those books that say it's not just about the thing that you do. It's about thinking about the thing that you want to do. So God is so good. He say you got to deal with your sins and don't try to cover them up. Make sure your examination of yourself is complete and it's honest. And then he tells us that we ought to come to some conclusion, not just do an examination, but we ought to have our conclusion. That is, after we examine ourselves, now what? Because I can be, again, here I am. I'm saying, okay, I need to not drive so fast. But until I start taking my foot off the gas, until I start paying attention to what that speed limit sign says, I shouldn't be shocked that they're still pulling me over. You see what I'm saying? And so we've got to, after we know where we stand, what's our conclusion? Our conclusions are very important because that dictates what our future is going to be like. And so beside coming to grips with ourselves, the second thing we want to think about is that we got to repair the damage that we have done to ourselves. People won't always admit that they are damaged. Nobody likes to say that they have faults. But if I ask you today, is there anybody in here that has some areas they need to work on in their lives beside me? There ought to be some hands. Because we are not perfect. Not husbands, not wives, not missionaries or ushers or choir members or preachers, a deacon. Nobody's perfect. And God knows that. And so God has laid out for us some things we can do to be better. It starts with reading the Word of God. We ought to read the Word of God. Some of y'all in here probably read 2 books a month. You know, you really love to read. I know that there are people who love to work the crossword puzzles and Sudokus and things like that. But how much time does a person spend reading the Word of God? And that's part of what God wants us to do because it helps us to repair the damage that we have done to ourselves. Now think about this. Whatever I've done to myself over the years, do you understand I can't go back and undo that? Is that right? Am I studying? Are we studying the same Bible? I can't go back and undo what I did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 weeks ago. That's done. But I can go forward doing something about not repeating whatever it was if it was not good in God's sight. I can work to be a better, stronger person in terms of serving God than I used to be. And that's what God wants us to do. So as we repair the damage, we first have got to discard our bad habits. We got to discard our bad attitudes. Now, I know nobody here you don't have bad habits. We're okay with that. And nobody here has bad attitudes. Wait a minute. I hear some folks laughing now. Y'all laughing about somebody else? Are y'all acknowledging that you may have some issues? Come on now. Come on. What's that old expression that people used to hear? And I would hear it said in the church more than anything. People say, they better stop before I lay my religion down. What part of the Bible is it where it says you can lay your religion down? I'm just saying that things we all have to work on sometimes. And as we get our perspective, and as we do our examination, and as we decide we're going to make some changes in our life, we are repairing the damage that we have done to ourselves. So we got to discard bad habits and bad attitudes. And we also, secondly, we got to replace our habits and our attitudes. Those bad ones we need to replace with what? Some good ones. If we don't replace the bad ones, we're going to find ourselves in a void, just in a spot where we don't want to be. And then we're always still leaning on those bad ones. But if we can create new habits, have new attitudes, better attitudes, do you think God would be pleased with that? Yeah. God would be pleased that I'm making some effort. I'm striving to be better. I'm not just depending on somebody else because God wants me to change. Do you see what I'm saying? He wants you to change. And so we got to repair the damage to ourselves. And the third thing that the scripture says, and just to read it again, he that covereth his sins shall not what? Prosper. People are wondering, why can't I do better? Why didn't I get that promotion? Why can't I get ahead monetarily in my life? Well, maybe we just have to go back and deal with our sins in a different way. And if we do that, we ought to be able to prosper in God's sight as he defines prosperity. He say, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them referring to sins, shall have what? Mercy. So when we're celebrating a new creature, The two things we have to talk about, that we have to stress, that we have to build up. When we're celebrating a new creature, we have to be forgiving of ourselves, and we have to have mercy on other people. What do you mean, forgiving of yourself? Do you know that there are some people in the world who find it very hard to forgive what they have done in their life? They find it hard to get past that. They're always just referring back, thinking back to what they did this time and that time. If we can't undo it, we got to let it go. We got to forgive ourselves, because unless we're able to forgive ourselves, we're not going to be able to forgive others. And if we can't forgive others, what the Bible says, unless you forgive others, God won't forgive us. So this forgiveness works hand in hand. We got to be people, as we are being honest with ourselves and honest with other people, we got to know that we are new creatures. Is that right?
Yes,
new creatures. Now, this new creature, why is that important? Because if I understand I'm a new creature, and somebody help me, how am I a new creature? I'm a new creature in who?
Christ.
In Christ, in Jesus Christ, because of what I have confessed, because of what I have decided to do. I'm going to follow Jesus, and because I take up that cross and I will follow him, and I've confessed that he is Lord and Savior, what Jesus does, he said, your past is behind you, preacher. Your past is behind you. You don't have to keep bringing it up. You don't have to hold your head down when somebody else brings it up. Let your past be behind you. Let your future be in Christ. Live like that new creature you are and celebrate the new creature. Oh, God is good. He is good. That's why I love to sing Zion songs. You know, you start singing that song just, it gets in you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you're in Christ, that song gets in you and your foot start moving. You may not even be trying. Your foot start moving. Your hands start moving. Your heart starts to be full. Yeah. Why? Because God is good.
Yeah.
He's worthy to be praised.
Yeah.
And he wants us to know that that's how he builds us from the ground up. From step one. He builds us up so that we can be stronger. But ground zero is where everything's on the table. Everything's laid out. We're honest about it. We're not trying to hide anything. That's the ground. And then God will strengthen us and build us and prop us up on every leaning side. And that's how he has us going higher and higher in him. Oh, God is mighty good. He is mighty good. He is mighty good. And that church, that is what Calvary was all about. Every time we preach, yes, we talk about Calvary. Why? Because everything in the Bible is connected to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you and for me. He built from the ground up. That's why he came as a baby and not as a mature adult. He's building from the ground up. He was letting people know you can start brand new. You can start a new life. Because it's not about what mama did or grandmama did or what daddy did. It's what you and I will do for ourselves. And I'm so glad that God is who he said he is. And so he brought us Calvary. And we know the story where Jesus sacrificed himself, hung, bled, and died on Calvary's cross. Went into that borrowed tomb, but early on the Sunday morning, that's where celebration of a new creature comes in. Celebrate, because God got up with all power in his hand. And even Jesus knew that something different had happened for people who would follow him. And so from the ground up, we just want to remember that applies to us. Don't live in the past. Don't be afflicted by what happened to you years and years ago. Understand that because God has made you brand new, God is pleased when you would put your hand in his hand and walk with him. We want you to know you can be closer to God today than you've ever been before. But you got to let the old life go. and you got to commit to the new life from the ground up. There might be somebody today who understands that Jesus is calling. We want to invite you to come forward now. Just like the young lady came forward last week. Come forward and say, I want to be a member of the church. That's just God moving in his own way. God will grow his church through every generation, through every set of circumstances. Why? Because our hearts get touched no matter what's going on outside. If you're here today and you will come, we ask if you'll just stand and come forward just to declare to the church that you want to be on the side of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."